There's still a few more people rolling in, but we're going to go ahead and get our services started this morning with a song. So if you want to join us, we're going to sing Your Love Never Fails. It's good to see everyone this morning. Let's sing out. One, two, three. Put your hands together. That's okay.
Nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have been mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Wind is strong.
Wind is strong and the waters seem. I'm not alone in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. For my good, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. All things work together for my good.
You make
all things work together for my good.
You make
all things work together for my good.
That's right.
You make all things work together for my good. Ages, your love never awake. I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails.
Morning. What a good day. Isn't it beautiful outside? It's beautiful inside, right? Please have a seat. Have a seat. Just wanted to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. I talked to a couple of visitors that have come in from other places and just want to welcome you here. Frank is going to be out this morning, so please don't judge our church by the preacher this morning and come back again sometime when you have proper preaching. But We do want to thank you for being here. And in terms of announcements, there are actually quite a few this morning. In your bulletin, there's a pink sheet about a women's retreat. I'm not sure why they call it a retreat. Doesn't that mean you're running away in defeat? I don't think that describes our women, right? I know that's not the case, but women's retreat. So there's it's in February, and if you are interested in doing that, you need to get your information into the office for that. Wendy had asked, also in your bulletin is another sheet for updating our church records. And if you would please fill one of those out and let us know a little bit about you, and so that Wendy can have everything updated. You can either drop those off at the office or just drop them in the tithe box and Wendy will take care of that. Also in the bulletin, it talks about a One Day with God event at the Briscoe unit. Sherry said that they're still in desperate need of support members for that. And if you're interested in doing that, the event happens on the 26th of January, but your application has to be finished tomorrow. Okay, and those applications can be turned in at the office as well. And there's some training that has to be involved if you've never been involved with one of those events. So if you're interested in doing a One Day with God, basically what this is in prison, the children of prisoners are actually allowed to go in and visit their dads face-to-face, not through a wall, not through a separation. They get to actually spend time together physically. And I've been involved in a couple, and it's a good thing. So if that's something you're interested in doing, application in by tomorrow, and then Sherry will have to do some training before the 26th. I guess finally, post it around, if you have a child less than 3 years old, this one applies to you, there's going to be a giveaway. It's the Atkins Community Outreach is giving away, it says, diapers and baby wipes. And one of the things I found out about diapers, you know how they're rated like 2 to 6 pounds and 6 to 10 pounds, they don't hold near that much, right? You have to change them at least once a week. I found that out. They do not hold that much, okay? So if you're in need of diapers, that is this Thursday at the Floresville Community Center, okay? And other than that, let's have a good time of worship and enjoy the Lord this morning and give Him glory and praise. Thanks. Oh, I guess Stormy, you've got scripture reading, don't you? Lord, I just come before you and I just want to lift up Stormy to you. And Lord, I just pray that as he brings words from your book, Lord, that they'll be inspirational to us. But Lord, most of all, that they bring glory to you. I just thank you for him and Lord, for the man of God that he is. I just pray your blessings on him in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're saved and on your way to heaven, please notify your faith. Yeah, act better. Now, this is going to come as a big shock to some of you because of my Christian demeanor and my loving way, But Brother Stormy has a temper. You guys missed your cues. When I say Brother Stormy has a temper, you're supposed to look shocked and go, no, I'm going to rewind it for you. Brother Stormy has a temper.
No, no way.
Much better.
Is it true?
When I hear really stupid stuff, it just kind of, and one of my biggest things is when a politician or a celebrity gets up and starts quoting the scripture and trying to talk about what would be the Christian thing to do, and it's obvious they don't know God from a monkey. It sets me off. And the only thing that gets me worse than that is when things happen in the church by people who should know better. It's like, and so the Holy Spirit leads us. When we start getting on a tirade, it guides us. But sometimes I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, so God gave me a redhead.
Amen!
And about 10 or 15 times a week, she comes by me and says, Philippians 4:8. So I'm going to share with y'all today Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we take offense, but the key word there is take. Offenses are always offered. We can take them, or we can say no thank you and do the godly thing and pray and change those things that we can change and pray about the things that we can't change, and we can think on the good, not on the bad things that upset us. Father, thank you for your word. Truly it is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. Help us to walk in that light, Lord, and remember to think on your word and the good things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right, well, as we dwell on those good things, we're going to give you a minute to walk around and greet each other and say hello. I know we're a little out of order this morning, but that's okay. Why don't you get up out of your seats and shake a hand and say hello to somebody this morning.
And be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I become even more indignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I become even more indignified than this. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I become even more undignified than this. Leave my pride by my side and I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I've become even more undignified than this.
Than this.
La 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 la. Hey! 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 La 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 la.
I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I become even more undignified than this.
Leave my pride by my side and I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified than this. La la la,
sing
la 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 la, hey, la 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 la, hey,
it's all for
you, my Lord.
All right, you can return to your seats, but I'm not going to tell you to sit. Go ahead and come on back and let's continue worshiping together. We've got another song for you, and this one is a little ambitious, I admit, but I hope that you like it. And hopefully you'll know the words and know the tune and sing along with us.
Putting on a Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There is thunder in his light steps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord, he wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, so you better be believing that
our God is an awesome God.
Now sing it out.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
The sky was starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. Hope we've not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God
is an awesome God.
He reigns
awesome God?
Amen. Amen.
I you didn't convince me. Do you believe he is an awesome God?
Amen.
That's a little better. All right. This is always. My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm, my help is on the way, my help is on the way. Refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through always, surrounding, chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm, my help is on the way, my help is on the way. And oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through always, always.
From the Lord.
lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You hid glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ.
What a beautiful name is, what a beautiful name it is, the name Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us,
so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Sing that again.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
That's a wonderful name. This next part holds true for you.
Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You have no rival. You have no equal.
now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. What do y'all think of the praise team? Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Good job, guys. And you know, we don't, I didn't tell Chris what I was preaching on today, but man, his songs just seemed to hit home with exactly what I was wanting to talk about. And I guess, been a little bit troubled lately and have been writing my congressman and representative. So what's the big news these days?
The wall.
The wall. Right, our borders, and right, and it's like, do we need a wall? Do we not need a wall? Are we going to build it out of concrete? Are we going to build it out of steel? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And it's like, you got to be kidding me. And so I've been writing my congressman and saying, you know, giving them my opinion, and as well as the president, wrote him too. And I ain't scared. You know, he puts his pants on like me in the morning, just like everybody else, and I'm not as scared to give my opinion, but one of the things I think we need to be careful of is that we get sucked into this battle of do we build a wall or do we not build a wall? Do we have open borders? Do we not have open borders? Do we do all this stuff? And we sit there and we get emotional about it, but we forget what does God's word say about it? And so as I was considering that, I said, well, what about this whole open border thing? And so I said, all right, well, let's see. What does God say about borders? And I went back into the book of Joshua. Joshua, as a book, has 24 chapters. 7 of those chapters are about borders. When the Israelites moved into the promised land and divided the land in some east of the Jordan, some west of the Jordan, and the 11 tribes got land. I'm sorry, the Levites didn't. They just got cities. But the 11 tribes got land and how they divided, and they talk about, well, this tribe stops at this river and goes down to this town, and it lists the cities that are in each territory. And so, I mean, God in his word spends a lot of time on borders. So obviously borders are important, right? Well, okay, so then let's go from borders to the wall. Well, I got to tell you, God's book is full of wall builders. Have you ever thought about it? I mean, one of the first ones was King, well, I can't say first ones. One of them was King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. And Solomon brought her to live in the city of David until he finished his palace, the Lord's temple, and the walls surrounding Jerusalem. The wisest man who ever lived is a wall builder. That's probably a pretty good person to take advice from, right? Well, so if you go a little bit further, there was a time when the Israelites, not following God so closely, were taken into captivity, and there was this guy named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was taken into captivity and serving under this king, the Babylonian king, Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah had risen very high in Artaxerxes' circles. And this happened 445 years before Jesus. So that's what, 2,500 years ago now, we still have this story. And it says, In fact, I'll just read it to you. It's Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It says, during the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, which was 445 B.C., when wine was set before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I've never seen you sad in his presence, said the king to me. So why are you sad when you're not sick? This is nothing but depression. I was overwhelmed with fear and replied to the king, may the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city of my ancestors, are buried in, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And then the king answered me, what is your request? And he said, so I prayed to God of heaven. And answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried, so I may rebuild it. It goes on even further from there in verses 7 through 9. And basically he says, oh, and by the way, if you're going to send me, can you send me like a whole bunch of rock? And can you send me a whole bunch of timbers? And can you give me a legal passage to get from here to there so I don't get attacked by another king? He doesn't just ask for the wall. He asks for everything it takes to get the job done. But I think the interesting thing was he knew the power the king had. He was scared. But he said, and I prayed to the God, and then I asked, this is what I need. And he said, the king found favor with me and sent Nehemiah on to build a wall. Well, you know, there's with walls, of course, there's opposition, right? And so you go down a little bit further in Nehemiah chapter 4, and of course, there's no opposition to walls today. But I just thought that this was an interesting verse. It says, when Schumer heard that we were building the wall, he became furious, and he mocked Trump before his colleagues and the whole powerful men of Washington and said, what are these pathetic Republicans doing? I substituted a few words, right? The real verse, right? When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and he mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria and said, what are these pathetic Jews doing? What goes around comes around, right? What goes around comes around. We come from a long line of wall builders. Even before this, between these two gentlemen, was a king named Asa. This is found in 2 Chronicles, if you want to follow along, 2 Chronicles 14. And this happened in, it doesn't say exactly when this happened in his reign, but he reigned from 911 to 870 BC. So somewhere just about 3,000 years ago, King Asa was the king. And it said, Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord, and he removed the pagan altars in the high places. He shattered their sacred pillars and chopped down their Asherah poles. He told the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to carry out the instructions of his command. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all of the cities of Judah, and the kingdom experienced peace under him. Because the land experienced peace, Asa built fortified cities in Judah. No one made war with him in those days because the Lord gave him rest. And so he said to the people of Judah, let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers and with doors and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he gave us rest on every side. And so they built and succeeded. Starting to see a pattern here a little bit. These wall builders, when they were following God, built and succeeded. Think about Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, right? David's son. He knew how close he and his dad and God were together. And for most of his reign, Solomon followed closely with God. He had a little time when he kind of drifted a little bit here and there. But in the end, if you go back and you read the books that Solomon wrote, he understood the mistakes he made. And when he followed God closely, he was blessed. Nehemiah, when he comes to this time of critical decision, says the first thing he did was he stopped and prayed to God and made sure he had God's power and spirit right in him before he proceeded before the king to ask a pretty bold asking, right? And here's King Asa. I did what was right. Things were not right in my land, and so I got them fixed. Because of that, you gave me peace and time to fortify my cities and have a place of refuge and protection for my people. Are walls important? I think so. But at the same time, when you think about in today's society, it's like, well, you're being so cruel by keeping people out. What does the Bible say about immigrants? It has actually a lot to say. And in a lot of passages, it groups what they in the Old Testament, they were called sojourners. They weren't necessarily, there wasn't a legal process for coming into a country, but you could come into a country and as a sojourner or as a foreigner, and basically once you adopted all of their customs and beliefs, you could become a part of their society. But it was very clear that the sojourners were typically grouped with two other groups, and one was the orphans and the other was the widows. When God talks to the Israelite people about how do you treat these foreigners, it was just like the widows and the orphans among you. They're supposed to be treated with respect and honor. However, he also talks about obeying laws that are put in front of us. So now in this day and age, it becomes a little more complicated, right? The people coming across legally, I think, very much fall into the category of sojourner. The people who come across illegally, probably not so much, right? He's very clear about us obeying the laws of the land. And in fact, one of the commands that he gives the sojourners is they're supposed to basically consider circumcision and honor all of the customs and festival dates of the Israelites. They are to be fully involved in the society, right? They were not to form their own little clique, their own little country within Israel. They were to become part of that country. I don't know. It's a complicated question where we're at today. We've made things so complicated. I have to tell you, I wrote in favor of the wall. I think we need a place of refuge in our country, and we need to have control over who's coming in and who isn't. And I think in today's world with terrorists, I'm sorry, we just need it. I mean, it's just... But at the same time, I think we have to consider the compassionate side and how is it that we view these people coming across. I mean, so many people get angry and say, well, they don't deserve to be here and they just suck up resources. And some of that is true. But believe it or not, they're God's children. And we need to consider that, right? We need to consider that. When we come to what's going on in the world today, there was probably another article that many of you may not have seen. And I printed it last night. I read this. This came out on January the 9th. And it says, China bans one of the Ten Commandments as part of the national policy. Well, the first one. Yeah, absolutely. So what happened is, in China, I've been there a number of times, they have sanctioned churches, and then they have what they call illegal churches, right? And then what happened is 30 officials from the government came into a sanctioned church, and they were doing a review of everything that was going on in the church. And one of the officials, they had the Ten Commandments posted on the wall, and one of the officials goes up and looks at it and says, you have to take these down. He says, why? He says, well... The president says, the first commandment, you can have no other gods before me. He doesn't like that one, and you need to get rid of the ten. Get rid of that commandment. You get rid of the first one, you get rid of them all, right? And one of the things that scares me about what I see in our country today is that people who propose communist and socialist agendas, they're not hiding in the shadows anymore. Right? There's a direct assault. Unless you hear, like, at Christmas time that, well, Jesus was an immigrant. Right? I mean, how many times you heard that from the left saying that, well, you know, if they can twist the word to support them, by golly, they'll do it. Other than that, forget it. God doesn't exist. Right? We'll just kill the babies and go on. And what I see happening is that while building the wall is an issue that we can sometimes get focused on, I think we need to go back and look at Asa and say, we need to clean up our country. We need to get rid of the altars. We need to get rid of those things that aren't right. And I think that even starts first with us personally. You know, as I always go back to what I consider great men to look for advice when it comes to times when I don't understand a topic and when I don't know what to do. And, you know, one of the other men that I went back to was this guy called Jesus. And a lot of times you think about what words do you choose from Jesus. And I know that there's, sorry, I got a cord here, that there's professors and people who have written kind of like their last words before they either retire or before they go away. So I said, all right, I'm just going to look at the last words of Jesus. Do you know what they were? Go to Acts chapter 1. Oh, I guess I did skip a verse. Sorry, Morgan. The one I skipped was, talking about Asa and all of the other old-timers, was Psalm 127:1. It says, unless the Lord builds his house, you labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over a city, we watch in vain. Coming back under the Lord's protection and following him. But in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, so when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? In Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. You see, even in this very last time, as the disciples are standing there with Jesus and he's just about to be raised up, one of their concerns is, God, are we going to get our country back, right? Here's the Romans. The Romans are still infiltrating this country and are still in political command. And they're like, okay, Jesus, is now the time. Now's the time, right? We get to get our country back. And Jesus completely changed the discussion, right? He says, you know what? That's going to happen. God's got it. What I have for you, you're going to receive power, and you're going to go out. You're going to change. See, President Trump has, what's his slogan? Make America great again, right? I think we need a new slogan for our church. Make the planet great again. Because our commission that Jesus gives is not just for his city, not just for his country, not just for his region, to the uttermost ends of the earth. And I know that there's people in our church who are concerned about the uttermost ends of the earth and the battles that are going on. You see, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God because we're coming into a battle. This is the last chapter in Ephesians. So I tend to go to last things because people tend to summarize and give the most important facts at the end just as a reminder. And these are some of the last words that Paul wrote in Ephesians right before it switches, right before Philippians, I guess, because that's the next book. But he says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord, by his vast strength, and put all the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heaven. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so you may be able to resist the devil in the evil day, having prepared everything to take your stand. You know, I wonder, what did Paul really see? What had God revealed to him in those days? I was registered for the draft. I was never called to serve my country. I know there have been some here who have served mightily, and I praise them for that. But I want to tell you, I've been in a lot of battles. Been in a lot of battles. I've gotten bloodied up pretty good in some spiritual battles. When I would travel to China, I would pack as many Bibles as I could fit in my suitcase, and I would give them to acquaintances as I met. I would leave them in hotel rooms for the cleaning ladies. I would do wherever I could, leave Bibles behind. No one ever questioned me. No one ever gave me a problem. But it could have turned out ugly. I want to tell you, most of the times I get bloodied up is in Christian settings. We're the first to shoot our wounded. And it says in this last verse, Paul talks about taking a stand. Taking a stand. When I was thinking about that part of the verse, what came to mind was this little church right up here in the middle of San Antonio. Y'all probably have heard of it. It's called the Alamo. Remember the commander's name? William Travis, right? 26-year-old guy. A lawyer. He wasn't a military man. He was a lawyer. 26-year-old lawyer. And here's William Travis. And he sees thousands of troops coming and surrounding his little facility. And he knew he had three options. And one option was basically to surrender. And he knew that if they surrendered, they'd be summarily executed because they had already heard what had gone on down in Goliad. He knew that they could band together and try to fight their way out, but he knew that the Lancers and the others around him would basically wipe out his party. And so the third option was to stay and make it as expensive as he could to take their life, and that's what he chose. See, he knew the battle was coming. Paul knows the battle is coming. And so he fortified that little church as best he could with a few men he had. But one of the things that he did, y'all have heard about the line in the sand, right? Was he took a saber, went out into the courtyard, all his men were lined up, and he took his saber, drew a line in the sand. And what did he say? If you're with me, come on. If you're not, no dishonor. There were 80 men standing on the other side of the line. How many do you think came across? I've said 180 men. Actually, 179 did. I had the name of the guy. The first guy that jumped across is named Tarpley Holland. And he didn't even wait for the line hardly to be drawn. He's like jumping across. He says, I'm ready. Let's do this. The one man that stayed behind was named Lewis Rose. And that night, this was the day before the battle, that night he snuck out from the fort and was able to, just because he was a lone person, he was able to snake his way through the lines, and he survived. 179 men joined Colonel Travis. And we know the outcome, right? No survivors. My question is, I think we're coming to the point where we're being surrounded by enemy forces. Morgan, would you put up the first page that you had for the song, Always? I just want to look at that. Like you say, we didn't coordinate this. My foes are many. They rise against me. But I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. Wow. Do what? When you started singing the song, I looked at the words, and I did too. I'm like, this is too cool. My question for you today, right? We all have a decision to make. And I think the lines are being drawn. That doesn't mean that there's not room for compassion, that there's not room for mercy, that there's not room for forgiveness. But I think that there are times when we need to make a firm stand. And that day is coming. That day is here. My question is, where are you going to be? Which side of the line? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for being a God, Lord, who honors those that follow you. Lord, we look at Asa and we look at Solomon and, Lord, we look at Nehemiah and how, as wall builders, Lord, they wanted to provide protection and security, but, Lord, they clearly knew that their protection and security came from you. And Lord, I just thank you for being a God who's a God of mercy, Lord, but also a God that calls us to stand when we're called to stand, Lord, and a God that says, you need to follow me in what's right. And Lord, I just thank you for our country. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with our leaders, Lord, no matter which side of this debate they're on, Lord, but I just pray that you'll be with them, Lord, and that you'll give them clear thinking in the things that they propose. But Lord, most of all, I just pray for our country in that we put up so many idols. Lord, we put so many things in the way that keep us from looking and honoring and worshiping and following you. Lord, I just pray that right now that each and every one of us, if we have those things in our life, Lord, that we'll be tearing those down. Lord, that just as Asa, Lord, that we'll be going back and worshiping you and all, and just in truth. Lord, I pray the same thing for our country, Lord, that as we move forward, Lord, that this church will be a beacon that will take over not only Sutherland Springs, Lord, but Karnes County and Texas, the United States, Lord, and Lord, that you'll even reach us into the uttermost ends of this planet. Lord, I just thank you for being a God who's faithful. Lord, I just thank you for a God who is a warrior and one that calls us to battle alongside of you. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reflect on the words that were spoken today. If you want to come down here and pray, the altar will be open. You can pray where you are. My foes are many.
They rise against me, but I will hold.
Take a moment and consider side of the line you stand on.
Being here this morning and putting up with the second string. Frank said he is planning to be back here tonight for services tonight. So if you're a normal Sunday night attender, those will be going on. What a great day. What a great day. Let's close out with a word of prayer and then we'll go on and grab some lunch. Lord, we do thank you for being a God who is our strength, our stay, Lord, the one that provides us all protection. Lord, I just thank you for watching over us. Lord, for pulling us through hard times. But Lord, most of all, I just thank you for being a God that forgives. Lord, I just pray that you'll give us those same forgiving hearts. I just want to give you the honor and glory and praise in this day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love it.
I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I'll become even more undignified as some may say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified as this. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified than this. Leave my pride by my side and I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified than this. Than this,
la 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 la.
I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I become even more dignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I become even more dignified than this. Leave my pride by my side and I'll become even more dignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more dignified than this. La la la, la 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 la. It's all for you, my Lord.
Which one?